Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and all that's known is that I believe that the guilty ones are totally
Ooh.
But on today's show, we don't do sadness, so if you're whispering into the mic, you'll get left behind, and then there are none.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I was like, in order.
Guys, was that too much too soon after the holiday on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but before homecoming?
My God.
You know what? Just give me Novocaine when it's time for my last night on Earth, but before the lobotomy, then wake me up before September ends.
Wow. That was really good right off the top of your head.
Yeah. Just rolling
no
up.
No preparation.
This guy's good.
But here with us today are the usual songs of Purple Summer.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh.
Including Kevin, American Idiot Jagger.
Well put. My
nice.
Mom would agree.
Or I also had Kevin, the world of your body, Jagger.
Oh.
I mean, either one works, really.
You mean the word of your body or world?
In the world of your body.
I think word it's of your word, body if you yeah. want to make a word, like a, you know, a play on words.
I don't
or play. A play on worlds. I don't know if
I was going for a play on worlds.
Why, that's good.
Why are you taking away one of the nice things Brian said about
yeah.
me?
You know what? Yeah. Let's go with American Idiot.
Let's just leave it.
Perfect.
And Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Mm.
Hello.
And our guest today, of course, is someone who can be seen on Netflix's very successful Master of None, as well as Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street. And was a member of the original Broadway cast of both Spring Awakening and American Idiot, if you couldn't have already guessed.
I think they're with us.
So let's give a big Broadway-sized welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Brian Charles Johnson.
Woo! Thank you. Wow, thanks for that warm welcome.
A.K.A. BCJ.
BCJ.
Hey,
in the house.
Yep, great. You can leave now.
Great.
I only bring guests on for puns.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for being punctual.
I was even early.
Mm. Mm. Social media, you can follow him at BCJ on Twitter, and that's BCEEJAY. And on Instagram at BCJ, but that's BEECJAY.
It was already taken, I think. Yeah,
that's kind of messed up.
I know.
Do you know who took it?
I probably the person that has
Dude,
that
it
handle.
Me.
No, I don't. It was you, wasn't
I,
it?
I don't even post anything.
Wow.
I just have it.
Oh, that's why you brought
this,
me here tonight.
This
he
is
just
a blackmail.
Insta blocked you.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Wow.
Just kidding. It wasn't me. I got ya.
Oh my gosh, you're so good with jokes.
So I'm gonna do a little throwback, guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Now.
Throwback.
Well, TBT.
Let's see what we're drinking first.
TBT.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'll go first. I'm drinking a Stella Artois.
Artois.
Not a cider. It's a beer, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Artois.
I am also
Artois.
Drinking...
I didn't say cidre.
No, I know. But I'm usually drinking the cidre of the Stella Artois.
Right.
But I'm manning up and drinking a burr.
Burr. American Man. Idiot.
American.
Kimberly.
American Idiot. American Idiot. Drink my burr.
Which now it is, right? Isn't it American now? Because like Budweiser bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want to so be an American.
Great.
Stella Artois. And I also am jumping on the... Stella Artois train.
Doot, doot.
Yeah, me too.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Very tentative train.
Yes.
It's like, hey guys.
Doot, doot. I think I'm sort of can.
I'm coming, yeah. I'm coming to the station.
I might be able to.
Yeah. I might have done it once. So that
I did it once a long time ago, so I can maybe do it again.
I'm drinking a screwdriver.
Wow.
No.
You have like tequila.
I have tequila and...
It's a screwdriver Maria.
It's like almost a tequila sunrise.
Because that's what you call
just don't
a
have
Bloody
grenadine.
Mary with
it's
tequila is a Bloody
gross.
Maria.
Is that right?
It is.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
Bloody Mary with tequila is a Bloody Maria.
Oh, wait, what is it with gin?
With gin? You can make a Bloody Mary with gin?
I mean, you can make it with anything.
I had it at the Smith.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, but it's called something.
Like a Juniper Mary or something.
Yeah.
A Juniper?
That sounds
accurate. Right?
Oh, everyone.
Oh, right, yes.
Do you know
yeah.
who that is?
Oh, I hear a little yeah. voice.
Yeah. So we have a surprise guest.
Surprise guest.
Yay!
Introduce yourself.
I am Stephanie Mora, also known as BCJ's girlfriend.
Yes.
Yay.
BCJGF.
Mostly.
Yes.
BCJGF. Wait.
Thought you were going to say
BCJGF.
BCJGF.
It's Little Miss Stephanie.
Yep.
And Lil Miss Stephanie.
You have to buy her a Corvette, and there has to be like your like license plate.
Someday.
BCJ,
GF. Buy her like a little toy.
Well, welcome. Like thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And she's a phenomenal singer.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait.
I told him that.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't done the research
you before
yet.
The show.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Yeah. They do their research.
Yeah, welcome. So follow her as well on the social media networks.
It's Lil Miss Stephanie.
And you can find videos of you singing, I assume, there.
Yeah, like mostly joke stuff, but and a lot of
Blue Apron stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of Blue Apron on your Instagram.
We like to cook it up. We do.
His is more Blue Apron than mine.
Yeah, that's true.
You have purple aprons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she's got. It's like
sorry, everyone. That was terrible.
She doesn't discriminate against aprons.
I really don't.
It's like martial arts belts for chefs.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the elusive black apron. Yeah,
I'm only at a brown apron.
Wow, that is an unfortunate color.
Oh. Listen,
I have an apron of a very impressive male physique that is not mine that I put on.
I like you.
You just stole
I've
it?
I've seen those.
it's my apron. It's
he actually skinned his neighbor and wears his neighbor's skin.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot.
Mm. We do. You Silence of the Lambs comes on a lot.
Yeah.
It's good.
Cilantro and Silence of the Lambs.
You gotta have a hobby. You gotta
gadgets.
Have a hobby.
Yeah.
Gotta have a hobby.
So I want to do a throwback.
Throwback.
We haven't played this game in a while.
Because it's Thursday.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Well, you're going to hear this on Tuesday, but we're doing it on a Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
It's Thursday right now, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's right.
We're going to do a little word association
word
with DCJ.
Word association.
Okay.
So, Kimberly, can you explain word association for those who just don't associate words in that manner?
So, Brian's going to tell you a word, and then you say the first word that comes into your head.
Wow. Cool.
Are you prepared for that?
I guess. It's kind of off the cuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't really prepare. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you unprepared?
Yes. No.
All right. New York City.
Shit. No! I've been here 13 years. That's that's what I would say.
Great. Breaking Bad.
Ding 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 ding.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
A little more thought into that.
No, that's good. Fish sticks.
Kanye West.
There's that great episode of South
Fish
Park.
Dicks, yeah.
Great
episode. Okay. Didn't watch it yet.
Yeah.
Watch it now.
Getting on it.
Yeah.
Superhero.
Batman. That was very.
I've never heard Batman said like that.
Yeah, Batman.
Batman. Very weird.
I don't know.
Batman.
My best friend was more the superhero.
That's
guy,
like if you got beat up
guy.
And someone's like, who did this to you?
Yeah.
Batman.
Yeah. I mean, the Batman movies are probably my favorite, so I'll go with Batman. Yeah.
Loofahs.
I don't get them, and I don't use them. I don't.
You heard it here first, everyone.
Yeah. BCJ
is not a loofah man.
Not a loofah.
Oh, yeah. I love my loofah.
Mr. Loofah Loofah. That's what we'll call you.
Yeah, you
that's
totally can. Name. American Idiot.
Yeah,
Mr.
Loofah Loofah.
That's me.
Know what I want? I want a loofah chalupa.
Oh, that's
what?
No, but like you like wash your. It's like shaped.
It's like
a
shaped
chalupa.
Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't that be a chalupa woofa?
Like you bought it in.
A chalupa loofah?
A chalupa.
Not a,
a chalupa.
A chalupa. Let's
because
just cut
a loofah
out the
chalupa is going to be a chalupa made of loofahs.
Right.
But if you make it.
But we're talking about a gift that you can get at Spencer's, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think,
probably something you can get there.
Good. That's a real.
Right? And if you can't, Spencer's.
That's hard to say together.
Yeah. You will have one
chalupa.
I don't even know if I
and then switch it. Chalupa loofa? Like it's like. That's
one
hard.
It's easy the first time if you try to say it more than once.
Right. Over and over again, it's hard. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't say that more than once.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's not. That's why we're going to move on.
It's like Beetlejuice. Or
Beetlejuice.
Shenanigans.
That's, I don't know. What? Shenanigans. I'm supposed to have one word response to shenanigans.
I mean, what's your initial reaction?
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans!
I don't know. Like, craziness.
You're really getting specific.
I'm really getting into this. I don't know. Yeah, I'm doing well.
Chupacabra.
It's like a Mexican, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Well, he's feeding me answers now.
No, I was saying what it was.
No, that is what it is. Yeah. Chupacabra.
Kevin's cousin is the Chupacabra.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's. I actually had Blue Apron on here, but we talked about it.
What? Blue Apron. Delightful times with my love. Would that be a? She's staring at me. What, yeah. What
good
am I
call.
Supposed to say?
Nothing. That's good. You nailed it.
She can hear this.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got for that one.
I didn't do that.
Yeah,
well,
we're going to cut that. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, we won't. I just put that in so it's funnier.
Oh, no. You're so, wow. That's some classic Y Brian stuff right there.
Whoa, bro.
Some trickery with a Y. Not at the end. It's also in the middle.
I am unique with that Y.
You're an I, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I spell it correctly.
My brother is an I.
No.
My brother is an I.
I'm a Y, and I am very happy that I'm
but
a Y.
But it helps me keep it, like, track right. of who is who.
Right, but
because,
also the one thing...
Because Kevin would obviously confuse me with his brother.
All the time! really hard.
The one,
you're both men.
The one thing you never had to go through growing up was everyone spelling your name brain.
Because
they're, like,
right.
dyslexic
like, kids
or something.
Learning
did you
like,
do that, though?
But more often than not.
Did what? You do it too, though, sometimes?
No, never.
Really? Mm-hmm.
My dad's an English teacher, so I was like, I'm very, you know.
Good at that.
Good at yeah. those five.
Are you the one that, like,
do they call him Phi Beta Kappa Johnson?
They don't. Oh. They do not. They just call him Mr. Johnson.
Kappa Johnson. Yeah.
The English or teacher. Tom.
I get it.
That's my
that
Bobby Birdie reference.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm,
Mr. Yeah. Phi Beta Kappa Peterson.
It's going to be stuck in my head all night now, Brian.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Cheers. yeah, so we got some questions for you before we play some games.
Wow.
What have you seen this week? What have you seen this week or
what
recently? Or what are you
week?
Excited for in the future?
I have not. So I did actually see Hamilton, but not this week.
That's okay.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
My good buddy Miguel Cervantes was on for the lead.
Well, he's opening Chicago.
They're leaving for Chicago in like 3 days, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we're trying to plan a trip to go to Chicago to see that stellar cast. But
the show is
so good.
Has he been in Man of La Mancha before?
Has he been in Man of La Mancha before?
His name is Miguel Cervantes.
I think Don Quixote is the
Miguel de Cervantes is the name of the character in jail, and he also wrote the book.
See, you're going to have way more knowledge about Broadway stuff than I am on that note. So, like, you're...
Get ready for my games, then.
You're going to have to dumb down the references a little more for me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm not...
Do you like musicals?
See, not that. Not that I can get behind.
That question was easy to process.
He probably was in a production of Men of La Mancha, but I can't confirm nor deny that. But he's amazing in Hamilton, so literally, like, anyone can go to Chicago or is in Chicago. Go see that.
That's
show.
Where Kevin sees shows.
That really? Is,
yeah.
I've never Chicago. Even been to Chicago, so
really?
It's kind of a,
really?
Yeah.
That's
it's
surprising.
One of those cities that I know.
You seem like
a Chicago kind of guy.
Yeah, you do.
Right? Not. so there's that.
You're from Buffalo?
I am from the Buffalo.
When you go, tell me, and I will tell you all. Like, there's amazing places to check.
Well,
out.
Well, you know, I never like had any friends town. That went to college there or live there or anything.
In Chicago?
I never had a reason to. To go visit, but I've been to the O'Hare Airport. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
Is there more to the city?
It's really nice.
Is there more to the city
no,
than
that's
just
it.
A layover?
Yeah. No. So you've been to Chicago.
I have been.
Awesome.
Did you get Garrett's
popcorn? I've been to
Uno's
before. Been to Uno's, like, in Buffalo and here, so.
Oh, you get it.
Yeah.
You just,
you're all over it.
I've been to the Uno's in New York.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's just
I have.
Chicago.
I've been. I like them. I prefer them, the ones in Buffalo, but I'm sure the Chicago ones are even better.
I went to the original Uno in Chicago.
Whoa,
the OG Uno,
the Uno Unos.
Yeah. Oh, numero uno unos.
High five.
High five.
I didn't mean to do the boy voice. It just came out.
I think that's just how people say high five now.
Yeah, that is.
So I want to talk a little bit about Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
And. American Idiot.
Okay. I like those shows.
So you... That was your Broadway debut.
Yeah. Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Yep.
That really blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about kind of being a part of that whole process. You won the Tony. You beat... I mean, you guys won the Tony, and you beat Curtains, Grey Gardens, and Mary Poppins that year.
Yes, we did.
So tell me a little bit about like that season, how you guys like how it blew up. Did you expect this to happen? I mean, you and so many now very popular performers went through that show, whether it be in the original cast or second cast or swings. Like what cultivated that? Like, tell me about that culture and that environment.
I mean, the show itself, what was so amazing about it was because there were so many people that, I mean, we were all just kids, really, except for the two adults that were playing the
So the adults weren't females. Kids.
They weren't. contrary to popular belief, they cast an appropriate age for all the characters. No, but everyone, I don't know, we were all just kids kind of doing this. We knew we were a part of something special and that it was such a good show, but we almost didn't even realize that we were just kind of being kids hanging out. It was kind of like being at summer camp, but doing a Broadway show every day. We were all just, I mean, we still are so close to this day. We have like a running group message on our phone, like just that we pop in every like month or so. Someone adds to it. I mean, we're all family. That's what it is. It's like we went through this thing. I was one of the older ones. I think like the third oldest, Gallagher and Phoebe. Above me, like they were 23, 24.
That's crazy.
And I was 21. And then everyone else was like 20 or below, all the way to like 15 years old. So we were all just, just deers in headlights. We didn't really know how anything went. We didn't have any prior things to set the bar to or set, like, gauge, is this right? Is this what we should be doing?
And, yeah.
So we're just kind of all finding new things together, like, every day. And I think what made the show so successful was our chemistry offstage that we acquired, because I think in anything, the most important thing to do is hang out with your castmates outside of what you're doing, outside of the rehearsal room or doing the show, because that's what creates the stuff that you can't really teach between people, because there was just an innate connection between every one of us from top to bottom. It was a team. And the Tony night was wild. It was just like one of those things that you grew up watching on TV that you never would ever imagine that people are actually in those seats, let alone you being one of them in the seats. So I remember when we got there, and usually you don't get to sit for the whole shebang. And our producers were amazing, Tom Holson, Ira Pittleman, and they bought us all tickets so we could sit in the orchestra as a cast. Because if you're nominated for a single individual award, you get your own seat. But as a cast, you usually get, like, bussed in from your theater to perform and then bussed back out and you go to the after party. Mm-hmm. With us, we were in the audience the whole time. And right out the gate, we just started winning. Every award that was out there we were nominated for, it was just like, wait, what? Because the hour before 8 o'clock when it airs on television, there's an hour of, which is ridiculous that they put these in an hour before, but the like lighting and, you know, all the awards that people don't think are fancy enough, but they're so important.
The design awards.
Yeah, the design. Yeah, it's
that make your show aesthetically pleasing to everyone.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So,
but the writing awards, started going and like, and we just, and then I remember John Gallagher.
People made the things.
He was the.
It's fine.
John Gallagher was the first award of the televised that we were nominated for.
Right. Yeah.
And I just remember all of us holding hands, like two rows of us just holding each other's hands. And when he won, it was just euphoric. And you know, it's just, it really brought out that family quality of just, we were all in it together. And I don't know. You hope that every cast is like that. I mean, I can't speak for that, but I think what I've been told from other people is that's pretty rare to have just that kind of camaraderie amongst everyone. Yeah, it was just a team, and we're so close still to this day. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
cool. Did you see the revival?
I did. That was our first date. I'm pointing at Stephanie, not
me. Not Ryan. I remember it well.
It's not televised, so I got to make these things clear.
I think.
No, I did. It was absolutely amazing. I think there were parts of the show that were just lended themselves even more to the script and to the show. Like my favorite scene was the father, the Moritz and father scene where he tells his father that he failed, and it was completely silent and just done in sign language. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the most powerful I've ever seen that scene be done. Cause I mean, on Broadway we did the, you know, his father was abusive and smacked him in the face. And, you know, that brings up, you know, it's obviously jarring and you're scared for that character because he's physically getting hit. Off-Broadway, when Frank Wood, that was Stephen Spinell on Broadway, and Frank Wood off-Broadway, he had a very chilling scene where he just sat in, they were in, like, opposite corners, and Gallagher was in the bottom corner, and Frank was sitting in a chair cleaning his pipe, and he didn't even move. He didn't move from the chair and delivered all of these lines that were so cold and chilling, and it was amazing. And that was my favorite way of that scene until I saw this production and the way that they did it, and I thought that was – it was very
– cool.
Yeah, I was just
– yeah, really got it.
Really got it, yeah. Got the point across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the show as a whole, I mean, it was amazing. It was – I've seen a bunch of productions of Spring Awakening. This is the first time that I've been able to, like, just be an audience member.
Yeah.
Not just have, like, memories.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know, I'd just be a real hot mess of tears.
Yeah. Just well, like, this one was so different.
We used to do this. Yeah.
What I liked about the new one is that I think it captured the isolationism of the characters even better than the original production.
Yeah.
I just really understood. I thought there was more of an aesthetic understanding of how alienated and isolated these kids felt.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, I hear everyone. I mean, everyone asks, like, "Well, which one did you like better? Which one is better? Like,
which one did you like better?"
And I'm like, you know, I mean, I liked this one because I didn't have to do anything and I could just watch it. but no, I mean, but like, you know, the thing I say is that there would not be this production if not for our production. So I mean, they're two different. They're supposed to be two drastically different things. They're not supposed to be like, you know, competing with each other or anything. I mean, they were just their own selves. And, I mean, one was, oh my God, it was 10 years ago when we started the other one. Which
is nuts. Kimberly, didn't you frequent the first one a lot?
I saw it five times.
Five times.
I have the off-Broadway bootleg.
Oh.
So I've seen the pipe cleaning.
Uh-huh. I guess you have. The aforementioned scene.
Mm-hmm. And weren't there other songs? The pirate song?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there was... There once was a pirate.
Yeah, that song was weird.
Yeah, that was, like, released on iTunes, I think.
It's actually...
It was, like, a bonus track on the album or something, right?
It's actually...
Of just Duncan Cheeks in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, don't you have a picture?
Oh, yes, you do.
Of some sort. Picture,
so, the night that I first met Brian Charles Johnson...
Good night.
My fiancé introduced us, and I had to say, hi. When we become Facebook friends, just so you know, there's already a picture of us on Facebook in which we are both tagged from when I was a 19-year-old fangirl outside the stage door, and my friends made me stay up all night and wait in the rush line for tickets to see Lauren Pritchard's last show.
Lolo.
And I think that was the fourth time I saw it.
Okay.
I saw it right at the beginning.
Batman.
I sat on stage. I have to, like, remember where I sat. The first time I saw it, I sat in front of a family very much from the suburbs that did not know what they were getting into.
Okay.
And it was a very, very quiet intermission between those
going
boys
into
and their kids.
Yeah. But, you know, lucky for them, they did it again at the top of Act
Two. Yep, in case you forgot. Just
nervous.
Showing it again. Then
previously
I saw...
on Spring Awakening.
That's how it felt.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. Guilty, what it is.
Guilty ones. Yeah. That's what it felt
just like.
Like,
see what we did there? We're doing it again.
Exactly. But the track's moving now. Yeah. We're not on a swing.
In a world.
In a world.
In a world.
But yeah, so I saw it five times. Then I saw it with my mom. And then I saw it in the front row when Hunter Parrish was in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And he, like, sat right down and, like, sang to my face. And yeah. I, like, freaked
well,
out a little bit.
It's a good thing you didn't see it when John Groff was Melchior, because you would have had to, like,
wear a splash row?
Yeah, you would have to wear a poncho.
Duncan Sheik shows in splash yeah, zones. Am I yeah, right, everyone? Yeah.
At least he wasn't bleeding on the front row.
You never
Although
know.
We never know. Any good stories about that? Yeah.
What's the craziest? Because of how your show was set up, so people were like essentially uh-huh. right then, uh-huh. right uh-huh. in the heat
oh,
of
Oh, yeah.
It all.
I sat on stage once. There were rules. Yeah.
What, what's Lockers. The craziest thing that's happened? Do you remember?
There's so many. Let's see. One of my favorite ones from Off-Broadway, because Moritz used to, at the end, you know, Moritz and, what's her name? Oh, Vendla. It's been 10 years, guys. that's, wow.
Sorry, I don't
know. That was good. That was committed.
Yeah. I don't know.
They come out of the grave at the end, you know, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So he came out of actually a false bottom chair of one of the chairs, like the chair that usually he exits to on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Off Broadway, it was, you know, you flip it open and he crawled out of it. Like he looked like the girl from The Ring. And it was super, it was really creepy and awesome.
Yeah.
And one time he went to do it and someone had, moved over on top of it because they wanted to get a better vantage point of the stage. And so I'm sitting with perfect sight lines of this happening, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, Gallagher's going to come out. And I'm like, oh, my God, that guy is sitting on the chair. Or I think maybe he had his hand on the chair. He wasn't quite sitting. He was, like, leaning over, but definitely hand just full palm on the chair. And Gallagher, like, ugh! He hit it once, and then it went snap back down. And the guy was like, whoa! and then he snapped it open and, like, climbed out, like, a couple beats off of when he normally would have. But that was hilarious. There was on stage, there was a guy that just, I don't even know, he's just a crazy man. Because there were no background checks of people that were coming on stage with us. So This guy just made himself right at home. Came, bought an individual ticket. He sat down on stage and just, like, took his shoes and socks off. He started, like, creepily, I think, looking at a couple, like, younger girls that were sitting next to him. And he was just being very disruptive. And they did have to, like, stop the show and remove him from the stage.
Like that they, disruptive.
Yeah, because everyone, because, I mean, we got through, like, maybe half of the first act, and then everyone of us that when we got a chance to exit, we were like, "You guys need to deal with this because this is not kosher."
Yeah,
I know the quality of clothing that people are wearing to theaters are, you know, naturally digressing, yeah. But
you keep your shoes on.
But
now.
You keep your shoes and your socks. Like that was I was like, and the socks.
If you're gonna be rude, like do it.
Yeah, like, right. This isn't like an Amtrak to Buffalo. Like what? What are you doing?
And then you did American Idiot.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did.
Well, tell us a little bit about that experience. You worked directly with Green Day, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They were absolutely amazing. I mean, they were so hands on, and anytime they. They had a tour going on at the same time that we were out in Berkeley doing the out-of-town run. Uh-huh. And they – I mean, like, I think the day after they got off their, like, national tour, they were right there at rehearsals. And is that a far-distant train? Is that a ghost train?
It really sounds
Yeah, it sounded like
train.
A train.
Can we hear the train from
I think
here?
That, yeah. Huh.
That was weird.
That was nice. So crazy.
That was nice. No, but they...
we all heard that, though.
They were so hands-on. I mean, Billy Joe is absolutely amazing, and so are Trey and Mike. They were just... They opened every door to us out in Oakland, the Bay Area where they're from. And,
yeah.
And Berkeley Rep was, like, the most amazing theater experience to work at. But the show itself, it was amazing for me because it was the first show that I actually had a show under my belt already. So I didn't feel as much like a kid... anymore.
Yeah.
As like this first time I felt like a professional because I had another show that I had already done to compare it to, which was a great feeling. You know, it was just nice to go in there and but again, it was the same familial quality to with the relationships with everyone too. Like everyone just got so close, and that actually, it was more because of our trip out to San Francisco, where we lived there for. Like 6 years. Or 6 years.
Wow. It's a really long like out of town run.
It felt like 6 years. We really wanted to flesh out the interview. We didn't have anything written going in.
You heard it here. The out of town run of American Idiot was six years.
6 years. 6 years solid. No, 6 months we were out there. And we didn't have anything to do. Like it was, other than the show and rehearsals and stuff, like we just got to. I mean, we didn't know anyone else there, so we just got closer and closer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
By the time we came back to New York, it was on.
Cool.
You
know? Like Donkey Kong?
Yeah, like Donkey Kong.
I don't really
Little
know
inside
that
joke, yeah. guys. For all you Mario Party players yeah. out there.
Brian, whenever we play Mario Party, Brian is Donkey Kong.
That's true.
I am Mario. Mm-hmm. And then enemy of the show, Jay, is Yoshi. And one day we invited him over to our apartment to play Mario Party. Mm-hmm. And
mistake.
Jay and I were just like hustling him, like whatever. And he beat us in our own home.
That's right. I caught most of the stars.
Yeah. And I got texts from both of them that were like, BCJ came over and like kicked our ass at Mario Party. And I was like, I don't. Okay. Yeah.
It was not a party. Yeah.
They were very upset with you. Yeah. But like proud. Like a proud friend. Is
yeah,
upset
right,
with,
right. Yeah. No, of course. Of course.
There's pride in the anger. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Kevin, do you have any questions for BCJ?
Having fun?
I am. I'm having a blast.
That's it? That's all you got?
Great. I nailed that.
Yo, way to prepare, Kevin. Just kidding.
Ouch.
I'll cut that. I know. That was
Be nice. That's why I'm here. That's fine. I'm just being like my 18-year-old fangirl. Like, tell me more about everything that happened during Spring Awakening.
I mean, there's so, yeah, there are so many stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like this fan base of Spring Awakening was like, they were all like 18-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And that's some boys too.
Being generous.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But like
15 to.
But it was like my freshman year of college 70. And we were all just like, we all love this show. This is so, like my friend has it. One of the lyrics tattooed on her chest.
Ribs.
Oh. Like, yeah.
Just right.
Best tattoo.
Totally It's right on her chest.
Speaking of tattoo, though, I did want to say the best tattoo I've ever seen of a Spring Awakening.
Your face.
Tattoo. No, I have not yet seen that.
And
so
your girlfriend
everyone
has
listening.
It.
Yeah. no,
that's
it was.
That's how you met.
It was that. That is how. Yeah, she's like, hey, I don't know you.
You're on my back. Like, right there.
I got your back, baby. Speaking of back tattoos, though, now we segue back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best one was at the – so we're at the stage door and signing, like – this guy asked me to sign a playbill or poster or something. And he's like, check out my new tattoo. And because he already had one of Leah and Groff, like, in the hayloft, which is super cool. Yeah. And then he had, like – he had so many Broadway tattoos.
Really?
So many.
Huh.
Like, so many. It was a hot summer day, I remember. I'll set the mood. and he was wearing like a yellow tank top, like he was Hulk Hogan kind of tank top there.
Okay.
And but he had personally designed it, I think, because he cut a hole in the back
to
on the back of the back right shoulder, and he's like, check out my new tat, bro. And I'll be damned if it wasn't John Gallagher Jr. as Moritz singing into a microphone.
Oh, like the poster?
Like the poster, yeah.
So you had like a perfect circle.
Well, I don't know if it was perfect because there were some jagged edges. There. For all you early 2000 boy band references, jagged edge.
Hey.
Broadway show actors... based on your body.
Yes.
And this is still on his body. Like,
I mean,
think
I hope.
It. It's
I don't,
still
like,
on
I,
his
they
body.
Didn't seem like they were removable. Yeah. It seemed pretty permanent.
Did he, like, alter the face for each new actor that entered the role?
You know, I just, we'll have to find
honestly,
it.
Why would you ever want to remove John Gallagher Jr.?
He's our guest on next week's show, so we'll ask him.
Tattoo
I wish
man?
I knew anything
tattoo
about man. Him more than his for tattoos. Real. Maybe he'll listen and he'll be like,
that was me.
That's me.
Maybe
that's
like, me. I just got a Broadway tattoo.
Tattoo guy, if you're out there listening, follow us. We'll follow you. Yep. And direct message us, and we'll have a conversation.
That's right.
Instagram me those pics.
Yes.
Great.
Cool.
Great. Let's play a game.
Game All time. Right.
Let's just play one big long game. Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another one, but I feel like it's hard, so we'll do that another day.
What's the hard? What is it?
Yeah. Better play
fill
it
in
easy.
The lyric.
Oh.
Do you want to do like one little round?
Yeah, let's do a little round.
Yeah, let's do it.
So in fill in the lyric, to make it a drinking game, you just have to waterfall your drink until you know the next lyric.
Okay.
Ready? The earth will wave with corn. The grayfly choir will mourn. And mares will neigh with...
Stallions that they mate, foals they born.
Yes.
Yes, I still know this stuff. Yes. This is great. Oh, keep doing it.
I couldn't find a good American Idiot one.
Well, that's one of the many lyrics that song was, because there was one preview that he asked us to memorize an entirely different verse with different animals and colors and
really?
And seasons and stuff. Yeah,
it was a song of green summer.
It was one of those like we got it like
mean?
4 hours.
Does anyone know?
Yeah, no.
I don't
None
think
of us know.
Does
None
it
of us
mean
know.
Walking into the distance, taking
Honest
your clothes
to God,
off? That's
you can
the new
ask
one.
This question to any one of us, and all of us will say, we have no idea.
Great.
And that's just
that's
how
That's amazing.
Is. But
cool.
boy,
okay.
can we act.
It was always like,
right?
such a fun part of the show. It was like, oh, they're done. Isn't this nice? Yeah. You can smile again. Yeah. You can wipe your tears before you have to applaud.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a purple summer would be like the end of the summer, like the haze, like the end of the growth of everything.
Yeah. You would get along with Steven Sater pretty well. the funniest thing, I'll say it real quick.
Yeah.
We did one preview where Michael Mayer was like, you know what? You're all going to come out dressed in the clothes that you wore to the theater today. We're going to try it.
At Purple Summer?
That, you know, to show that, like, you know, not much has changed.
Yeah.
All the themes, not much has changed from then till now. And we did it. I was wearing a Bills jersey. I was wearing a Bills jersey.
He's like, yeah, no.
Oh, no. He literally, like, so we all came on the clothes and we did that show once. Michael Mayer came backstage and he was just like, ew, no. Never again. No. I was wrong. But it was amazing. And then I actually saw a production of it at NYU, and whoever directed that, they did that. They came out in regular clothes. And
They saw that preview.
Did you say, ew?
Up here.
He was sitting
member.
On stage. He took his socks off, and he was like, ew.
All right, back to the game.
All right. An almost perfect bow. Drinks. As refined as a girl could wish. But he spends so much time in
his round-bottom boat that he can't seem to lose the smell of fish.
Wow. I hoped you'd get that one.
Carrie Pipridge. Carousel.
Carousel.
Oh, man.
Is no one else sang that at their senior recital? Just me?
I wish I could have.
Oh, you could have if you wanted to. All right.
I think I
Ready,
sang
Brian?
Captain Hook.
I sang This Is How We Do It.
Did you really?
Probably.
That's amazing. Cool. All right. You're the top. You're the Colosseum. You're the top.
Mausoleum or something.
You're the Louvre Museum.
Ah, mausoleum.
Brian, that
better.
Was my pandering to you, and Kevin got it.
I forgot to drink, and then I started drinking, and I lost my train of thought.
All right.
It's tough being Brian.
Well, we'll do one more. Isn't it rich? Are we a pair?
Me here at last.
Yeah, go.
Me here at last on the ground, you in midair.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Wow. Wait, are we drinking before or after?
It's supposed to be during, but people are forgetting.
I'm not. I'm just not answering.
Now we'll play a big long game. Yeah?
Oh, that was
a
game. Oh, well,
unless you
want to
play more.
No.
I got some more.
No, let's do it.
No.
We'll do one more for Kevin.
Done.
Yeah.
For Kevin?
Okay.
Kevin
just for my ego.
All right. McCavity is a mystery cat. He's called the Hidden Paw. But he's a...
I don't know.
Exactly what I thought would happen.
Kevin,
but he's a master criminal who can't defy the law.
Is that a Cat's reference?
So that was
that
really,
is a Cat's
where's
reference.
The
really
do, where's the dog's musical?
There's a dog. There's
oh,
a dog
coming.
Number in
like,
Cats.
Where's like Oliver Wolf? And Company?
It's coming.
Oliver and Company, the musical.
Come on.
Oh, wait, you are writing a dog musical.
I am writing a dog musical.
You are?
Yeah, it's called Woof the Musical.
Is this serious, right? Yeah. You are being serious?
I am being serious. Okay, the show itself is not serious, but it is.
No, that's right. That's fine.
It is a...
But about I will support that.
Yeah, it's like called, an All Dogs Go to Heaven situation.
Right. Oh, great movie. It's,
right. All Dogs Go to Heaven, Oliver and Company.
Why should I worry? Why should I care?
If we can get Billy Joel in there for Oliver and Company, like, you know.
You could just take the C at your name.
That song was incredible, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I
think it was one of the first movies I ever saw.
Really? I have the bulldog as in my childhood home.
Perfect isn't easy, but it's me.
So what? Wow.
Bette Midler? Yes.
Oh, man. What am I getting?
Okay. So I've just dealt everyone Lights of Broadway show cards.
Lights of Broadway!
I didn't really count, but you probably all have the same amount.
Friend of the show, Squiggs.
Yes, Squiggs.
Yes. Gabby Diggs. Very topical.
So. very topical. in the middle of the table, we have a little pile of cards, and this is Show Cards Against Humanity.
Woo!
So one at a time, you're going to pull something from the middle, read it out loud. Everyone will try to make you laugh the most, and that person wins. Fun
facts. I got someone from Buffalo, New York in here.
Ooh.
Michael Bennett.
Not a rare card.
We always say, not a rare card. All right, here we go, guys.
Okay.
But if, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the blank.
I was proud of that one.
My hand is out and my eyes are closed.
So your usual position.
Oh, I missed you, Brian Plofsky.
I don't even know.
So, listeners, you obviously hear me make fun of Kevin all the time, and Kevin, like, just accept it. Kevin and I are really good friends.
This is not a bad thing.
None of this is, like, me actually disliking him.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got that, but I just need to be clear.
No, I think everyone... Everyone's like, that Brian is just so mean to that Kevin. Yeah.
Awful host.
Do I have everyone for everyone?
This one would be.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so the question again was, but if baby I'm the bottom, you're the blank. So I've, but if baby I'm the bottom, you're the Hamilton.
Oh.
Well played.
You almost got two
Can
of
you
those?
Sing them? Can you sing them?
But if baby I'm the bottom, you're the bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson. All of them. So, but if baby I'm the bottom, you're the Adam Pascal. But baby, I'm the bottom, you're the Finding Neverland. I mean, it's got to be Hamilton. So whoever said Hamilton.
Me!
Brian, there you go. You get a point.
Point.
Point for Brian.
I didn't have very good cards there, so it was more of a throwaway.
Brian, pick one.
Okay, all right, Brian, your turn.
Most likely to survive.
We'll cut that, don't worry.
Yeah. He's only had two sips of his tequila sunset.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that was
tequila Maria or
sunrise,
whatever.
Sunrise.
It's my tequila sunrise sunset. Yeah. Nice 170.
Nice, good save.
Most likely to survive a zombie apocalypse.
Old?
Ooh,
most likely to survive of a zombie apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
Alan Cumming.
Mm.
Oh, good one.
Cheetah Rivera.
Oh, she survived a lot.
She's still here.
Jerry Orbach.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Alex Timbers.
He could fit in.
And as Samantha Macell would say, he looks exactly like this cartoon.
He looks like a cartoon. Yeah.
Actually,
guys, that's my favorite thing ever.
Really,
I love
that. So to me, it's between Cheetah Rivera and Jerry Orbach.
Mm.
But I think it's Cheetah.
Cheetah got it. Cheetah. Who would Cheetah?
So not Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah.
BCJGF. Wow.
She's so good.
BCJGF.
I pick one, sir.
BCJ, it's your choice.
I thought Jerry Orbach could have taken that one, though.
No, he was. That was close.
I tried.
That was Jerry?
That was me.
You were Jerry? Imagine if we both picked our own winners.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, I really regret that.
Then people would know you're friends.
Kevin, I'm not your friend.
Don't get carried away.
You're my co-host.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is a two-parter.
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 Yes.
Two-parter.
Two-parter. Is that what you guys sing when it's
done? Yeah.
Hot pocket.
Two-parter.
Two-parter.
When blank met blank, a new musical comedy.
Mine's one that's going to win, just so you know.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay. When Hamilton met Wolf Hall Parts 1 and 2. New musical.
Oh, wow.
Comedy. Okay, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
Oh,
that is a lot. Because that's actually three things. Because parts one and two.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's great. That's good. When
13 hours of theater.
When James Monroe Iglehart?
Iglehart,
right. No, I knew that. I was just testing you guys. met company. A new musical comedy.
Okay.
I like that. I like that. When Cinderella met Cinderella. That's trippy. Like from teenage Cinderella.
Yeah, and that's comedy.
You know,
well, like you made it a time travel thing.
Yeah, Cinderella. I was like, don't do this.
Freaky Friday.
Your sister sucks.
The prince sucks too, though. Go out on your own.
Stop cleaning their house for free.
Or she's like, this is her after her marriage has gone bad.
That's like some Harry Potter.
Do I go back and change?
Right. Anyway. Back to the seriousness of the game. When Michael Bennett met A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. I mean, it's got to be Cinderella.
Yeah.
Right?
Kevin, which one was yours?
ECJGF. Which
one was yours?
The Michael Bennett one.
You thought that was going
to
win?
No, I just was saying that to be funny. I knew I wouldn't win. It was a throwaway.
Oh, yeah. See, that's how you know you won. Or just remember that you won.
Where's the last one?
It's okay. We remember you got two.
The right questions.
Kimberly, it's your turn, love bug.
Okay. Oh, that's so cute.
I'm never winning anything in this.
My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of blank and blank. Bottom to top?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Why does that remind me of something? Like a secret handshake from some sort of musical.
What? There's a secret
handshake? It sounds like bottom
top to bottom. I guess when you say anything like that, it's like, hey, Brian, how you doing? That could have been from a music. Like,
yeah.
I'm good.
If you talk like this and you do this thing.
And that's the way
that we do it.
And now, yeah. No.
Now we all know.
If you talk like this and you do the thing, the only next step is obviously to sing.
Oh, man.
That's really quick.
You chose to rhyme and I didn't.
Over
and I failed.
Achieving as usual.
Right. My name is Brian. I'm really cool. Oh, wait. One, two, three.
My name
is Brian's.
Oh, okay.
What was happening?
Man. It was my two Brian's, is what he was trying to do.
I had to put mine in.
I have to.
Brian, come on.
What was it? I wasn't listening.
I put it.
My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of blank and blank.
Nice.
Was that everyone?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. That was me just being silly. Mm-hmm. My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of Audra McDonald and Beth Level.
Mm-hmm.
Might be accurate. My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of David Diggs and Kander and Ebb. Oh, wait. John Kander and Fred Ebb.
Yes.
Three things.
Why, wide array.
Oh.
Wonder about
here
that
they
one
are again. My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of John Kander and Fred Ebb and Stage Door Canteen. The card that won't stay away. My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of Alan Menken and Jonathan Larson.
Okay.
Very interesting.
That's great. I was just reading.
Whoever said swing to Stage Door Canteen.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. She does this in Cards Against Humanity.
BCJGF.
She does this, man. She sweeps.
It's
and
KI.
You don't even know
killing it.
That it's an inside joke.
Nice.
No.
All right. You're
the last one to pick.
Last
but
one.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
All right.
One.
Blank, the musical, a tale of love, life, and liquor. Brian Stokes Mitchell,
my mom's
the musical,
an
a tale of love, life, and liquor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
I love him.
All right,
Stokes
Company, the musical, a tale of love, life, and liquor.
True,
very true.
That's what it's about already.
Raul Esparza, the musical, a tale of love, life,
and
liquor.
Oh, a little tandem on the Company and mm-hmm. Raul.
Yeah. Do you like tandem bicycles?
I don't, but I like the thought of someone else doing that. So I can watch them.
Like Miss Piggy and Kermit?
Yeah.
The only people.
Mary Mitchell Campbell, the musical, A Tale of Love, Life, and Liquor.
Good one.
She'd love that. She'd love that.
That was Kevin, wasn't it?
Yes.
Who wins? I'm going with
she
company.
Put my card face yeah. down, by the way.
Oh, the evil Brian.
All the other cards
me.
She put face up, but mine she put I face put down. It was like,
oh, you did?
This yeah. is a terrible show.
This is a company. I realize no. I'm trying to have a private conversation with you in front of a microphone.
At the end of every episode, private conversations start happening.
No, it's really true. Like, me and Kevin talk across the table.
So who? So I have two. Kevin is zero. Oh,
BCJGF totally won.
Yeah, she's got three.
She's three.
Wow. Surprise guest.
Are there prizes for her?
Cool. No, I forgot prizes again.
No.
It's okay, guys.
You know, the prize
is BCJ.
BCJ.
Hey. Oh.
I was going to say the prize is coming on the podcast.
You're much too kind
I
about it.
I just gave your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend's your prize.
But gave me away.
That's the end of our show.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This was so much fun.
Oh, hooray.
That was very condescending.
No, really. But it was so much fun.
No, I'm glad you had a good time.
Count the laughs.
You're like, he says that after every Blue Apron.
I'm going to, like, go.
He's like, that was nice.
I said, this looks great, baby. This looks great.
I'm so excited to eat this.
So, yeah. Again, you can follow BCJ on Instagram and Twitter at BCJ, each spelled differently.
I gotta fix that. Yeah, I gotta fix that.
And before we leave, quickly, tell us about Dan and John's Wings.
Oh, yes. This is, it's actually right by where we are right now.
Oh, that's true.
In the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Dan and John's Wings. They're the best wings in the city.
They're amazing. I've had
them. You've had them?
At City Field.
Oh, yeah, you had them at City. So we have a stand at City Field in the Promenade Club on the 6th floor.
And they're also
behind
at
home plate. Smorgasburg.
Smorgasburg
is where we started like 4 years ago. And we have a brick and mortar shop here in the Lower East Side on 1st Avenue between 9th and St. Mark's. And it's awesome. I mean, we have boneless and traditional, and we even have veggie wings.
Yeah.
That are delicious, that are vegan.
So too. I just want to say, I'm going to put a plug. It's actually excellent. I've been to the one at City Field, and I've been to the one on Lower East Side.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, East Village, rather. Yeah. It's really, really, really good.
East Village, sorry.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Probably know where the...
Yeah. we're all just Buffalo guys that make them right.
Yeah.
They're
cool.
The best.
Well, we end each episode with a little quote.
Mm-hmm.
So today it's, are you in favor of democracy? Of course you're in favor of democracy. Well, since you're in favor of democracy, here, sign. Sign here.
Is that 1776?
No,
Hamilton.
Floor of the Red Menace.
Floor of the Red Menace?
Floor of the Red Menace.
Yeah, it's a Candor and Ebb musical.
Wait. Was Cheetah in that?
No, not Cheetah. Keep going.
Wait, it was...
Gwen Vernon.
No.
Gwen Vernon.
Floor of the Red... Oh, it's Liza.
It's Liza. But we end every episode with a little bit of...
Zoo-doo-wop-bop. Bye, guys.
Oh, wait. But before we leave, the winner of the Ticket IQ contest.
Oh.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. The winner is...
Kyle Lloyd.
Yay!
Congratulations.
Follow us. Let us know you won. Direct message us. We'll put you in touch with the right people to get that done. Super excited that you won. Real thanks for entering.
Kyle Lloyd.
Who won?
$200.
$200.
$200.
Hey, thanks for listening, Brian. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for joining us, BCJ.
GF.
Stephanie Mora at Little Miss Stephanie.
Little Miss In a world.
In a world.
Where she had a handle.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll listen. You listen to us next week. Well, yeah, that worked.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye, Ryan.
All right.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.